Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
Welcome to the Buckeye Extra Football Edition. I'm Rob Aller here with Bill Rabinowitz and Joey Kaufman. Guys, we're a few days away from the big day, the big game, spring game.
It's a small game.
Yeah, this is
the only game.
April 10th. We're here today on a Wednesday, and Saturday is the spring game. They hope to get, 76,000 in there? Is that right?
That's the capacity.
Do you have some details?
They have sold 63,000 as of Wednesday morning, according to Jerry Emig, their crack SID. And because of stadium renovations, they only have 76,000 available.
All right. And Joey, I don't want to dip too much into USC, but you were at USC. Did they have a spring practice? Was it open, and how many did they draw?
They did have a spring game. When the Coliseum wasn't under renovation, those typically drew 10,000 to 20,000. So
amateurs.
This has more people going to it.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's a little more to do. There's beach in LA.
I heard
there's an ocean out there somewhere. All right, so Ryan Day, head coach Ryan Day, first year taking over for the Urban Meyer. And what was your takeaway today? He spoke to the media for, he went pretty long. I don't know, 25 minutes maybe, a lot of questions. Was there anything that jumped out about, before we really get to the spring game? I mean, this is all tied together because we're going to talk about spring game. He talked about spring game. What would be your takeaway? Any news out of that first? And then, what do you think of the spring game in general?
I don't think there was a lot of news. He certainly didn't commit to anything. He said that the spring game will not just by itself determine who the starting quarterback will be, which is not a surprise. And I think most people expect it to be Justin Fields. And he kind of gave a little hint to that today when he said he was asked about the offense. He was asked about Haskins' question. And he made a comment about how this year the quarterback will do more running. Now, Baldwin does more running than Haskins would have also. But Fields is a really good runner. And so when he said runner, your ears kind of perked up and said, okay, that's a little bit more of a sign of where we think we're going. But he also praised Baldwin pretty heavily, and so he's going to let it play out.
He's a newbie. He let one slip a little bit. Maybe just a tiny bit. Either that, or he's just a genius and he's throwing us off the trail. Joey, did anything jump out to you from what he talked about today?
He went over a little bit of the format for the spring game, which I thought was kind of interesting. They weren't going to have full-on tackling. It's going to be thud tackling, which is when you kind of just wrap a guy up without bringing him to the ground. They're going to have running clock in the second half, so it doesn't seem like a case where they're going to go and play 3 hours and beat each other into the grass on Saturday afternoon, so it seems a little more muted.
Yeah, I thought Ryan Day was a little more, he disclosed a little more, or was willing to, than Urban Meyer in terms of the specifics. I mean, he did not try to play this up as this whiz-bang game. He was very clear he doesn't want guys getting hurt. He was very clear just, that Chase Young's going to not be in there very long. He's going to get the starter out and they'll go from there.
Again, running clock in the second half.
What, 10 minute?
Yeah.
The 10 minute quarter.
So I would expect this thing to be over by 1:30.
Oh yeah, I think so. Hey, we're going to take a break here. A word from our sponsor. We'll be right back with the Buckeye Extra Football Edition. You have to stand behind a statement like the best buying experience in the business. Rosati Windows believes the right way to do business is really pretty simple. You have to be honest. You have to have integrity, and you have to care about what the customer is selling you and respond accordingly. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he trains all of his employees on the principle that the customer always comes first. Everyone who works at Rosati Windows cares about what they do and the product they put out, from sales through manufacturing to the installation and all the way down until when they peel that last piece of film off the window. They are not going to leave your home until everything is right. It's this sort of commitment that Rosati Windows can proudly stand behind a statement like, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business. Welcome back to Buckeye Extra Football Edition. I'm Rob Aller with Bill Rabinowitz and Joey Kaufman, the two beat writers for the Dispatch. So let's get into, unless there's more news that came out of today, I think a lot of the guys that have been injured through spring will not be playing in the spring game. Where are some of those names? Help me out here.
Tough Borland. He didn't mention Robert Landry, but I'm assuming Robert Landers is in that group. Jordan Fuller, DeMario McCall, Marcus Williams in a cornerback.
Last minute decision is going to be, is it Olave?
Olave kind of had a hamstring in the practice we saw last week, or maybe it was Monday. So he's kind of a... game day decision.
Right.
I'm not sure there are other anyone else, Joey?
Nah, well, I think we've covered the bases. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, 90% of the people, the fans showing up here to see Justin Fields in the quarterback competition, and I don't think that thing's going to be decided officially, obviously, until, you know, late in summer, would you say, probably?
I would think it would be early in camp that, okay, they will come out and say this is at least the clear front runner. I don't think they're going to go deep into camp and say, I don't know. I mean, right. I just don't think. And look, barring a major surprise, it's going to be Justin Fields. I would just be very surprised based on what we've heard and just what we've seen. Some of it's just what you've seen.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, Ryan Day referenced that, which this wasn't newsy, but again, just a little insight into the guy. He's a pretty nuts and bolts guy. He just keeps it right there in front of you how, you know, no matter really what the quarterbacks or anyone does in the spring game, really where you're drawing your decisions, who's going to start, who looked good off the 15 practices and tape. He was very clear about that. So,
as he should.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of the way it works. Now, you know, there's also this thing of 76,000 in the horseshoe and how guys perform under that. Are they catching the ball that's right to them, you know, or is the pressure getting to them a little bit? All right, let's look at going in. What intrigues you? What positions to look at on Saturday for the spring game, would you say? Joey?
I think it has to be the quarterback because obviously you have two guys who don't have a ton of game experience and you're also going to have a pretty big audition. So I'm curious if Justin Fields, he's certainly the fan favorite, and if he kind of wows in that environment, if kind of pressure and hype and will continue to build on him going into the summer. So I think spring games kind of set narratives and there's no position battle that is kind of more geared toward having narratives than a quarterback competition going into camp. So I'll be curious how the quarterbacks perform.
Yeah, good point there. It does sort of, that's what people will be looking for. And people will take, we've done enough of these, all three of us have covered enough of these spring games to know that people see what they want. The fans see what they want to see. You know, a guy can have a so-so spring game and yet the fans think, you know, he had the greatest game ever. And we also know for all the great...
Mr. April.
Yeah, Mr. April. Great, great point. We won't name names and call anybody out unless you want to, Bill.
But
There have been guys who look like they're NFL Hall of Famers in the spring game and they barely see playing time, or if they do, it's just not spectacular in the fall. So really, I would say there's more of those than the other.
Yes, but there have been guys that you kind of go, oh, who was that guy? Because there are certain plays...
Haskins' arm.
And there have been some guys you thought, oh, he's got good hands. Now, guys sometimes catch 10 passes because they're in with Scribinis and they get thrown to 10 times.
Right.
It's different if a guy playing against starters makes a really nice play. Then you kind of go, okay, that matters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just a matter of accumulating stats. It's what they do with their opportunities.
Yeah, and one more particular thing. They're not going to draft. And some years in the past, they've drafted and it's been fun and kind of a fun thing. No, this is almost basically admitting that it is a practice. They're taking ones versus ones, twos versus twos, and then going from there. Bill, what about intrigue for you? Like, what position? Yeah, any position?
I'm interested in the offensive line because it's been a jumble this spring with guys who aren't here. Jonah Jackson's not arriving from Rutgers until later. And injuries, there. Munford hasn't been here, hasn't practiced. So you've got a bunch of guys. I'm writing about Nicholas Petitfrere for Friday, right tackle. Five-star guy last year and didn't play. I don't know if he played at all or didn't play much. I can't remember. But, you know, a guy who's battling with Brandon Bowen. That's probably the way that looks. And I did a story on Bowen, so I guess I'm doing right tackles this week. But Petitfrere is a guy who's been on an 8,000 calorie diet to bulk up and unlimited potential. Just a really talented guy, but he's young and inexperienced. And so that's one guy. But the whole offensive line, how does Josh Myers look at center? Does Wyatt Davis build on what he did last year? Could Gavin Kupp, who's playing left guard with Jonah Jackson not here, can he be a guy that says, okay, well, you know, find a spot for him? Josh Allaby at left tackle with Munford out of it. How those guys play together. Again, it's going to be different in the fall, but can they look like a functioning offensive line? If they can do that in the spring game, I think that bodes well. And I think also linebackers, you know, Tough Borland won't be playing, but does Baron Browning look good? Does Taraja Mitchell look good? Justin Hilliard won't be playing, but I'm just curious how that unit looks.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know, if we'll be able to see this difference in defense from, you know, I don't think in the spring game you'll really see much of that. You might be able to see the bullet position.
Right.
Oh, there he is. You know, know, that's about all you'll see. You know, the O-line, D-line, they're not real sexy, though. What about tailback? Joey, you've got J.K. Dobbins. He's kind of the guy. We've discussed him in terms of last year, last season. He admits that he was looking for the home run ball a little too much. This year, he wants to go from, you know, getting those 4 yards to those 5 or 6 yards, you know, just kind of grind it a little more. But his backup, I mean, can anyone, you know, does most of Buckeye Nation know who even the backup is? I think it's, is it Master Teague? And he's injured, correct?
Right,
Where are we, Joey? Do you see anything in the tailback position that's iffy or could be a concern?
There's not a lot of depth there.
Yeah.
There's just not a ton of scholarship backs. So you obviously want to see if J.K. Dobbins can kind of handle a workload and that sort of things. I know you mentioned you were kind of looking for sexier names, too. I think Garrett Wilson is kind of a guy who's intriguing. Early enrollee, true freshman, lost his black stripe this week. Comes from Lake Travis. Kind of a prized, highly touted recruit, and he's a guy who's going to have a chance to play right away. You lose three top receivers, and there's no really position there set in stone, the X, the Y, the Z, and I'll be curious kind of how they throw him out and if he can make some plays in flash. So that's a guy to look out for as well. And I do want to piggyback on one thing on the offensive line, is I'm curious as well how Josh Myers will look. Just he's another guard going from center. You have the snapping thing. It'll be his first real chance to snap with a big crowd, with a defensive line hovering over, with crowd noise, with the cadence of the snap. So I think that's something I think to look for as well.
Yeah, they had some issues last year, right? Was it Michael Jordan?
One game, I forget which game.
But I mean,
Minnesota, one of those games.
Just sort of in my memory, I mean, there were some low snaps. I mean, there's going to be in the course of a season. But
funny, it was just the one game really with him that it was bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that just you know, sort of paints everything.
Right.
Broad brush the whole season when a guy does that. Yeah.
A guy that, talked about the running backs, Marcus Crowley is going to get a lot of time. I feel like if there was a Las Vegas betting odds on who's the leading rusher on Saturday, I'd put my money on Marcus Crowley by default because he's a healthy freshman. They're going to see he's going to get a lot of time with DeMario McCall out and Master Teague at least questionable or limited. So Marcus Crowley's a guy, more of a three-star guy from Florida, but set all kinds of records and really was a little under the radar, but they are pretty excited about him.
Yeah. Again, for fans listening, the format, back to the format a little bit. I was curious, you know, going into spring practice, Ryan Day made it very clear that he's made it very clear that he'll be calling the plays in the fall. You know, there was always a little bit of question with Urban Meyer. Did Urban call the plays? Did he approve the plays? How did it work? It seems to me, in listening today, that he's actually going to be a little more hands-on, and yet, again, going into the spring, he said, I'm going to spread that around. I'm going to let Kevin Wilson call some plays here and there. And I think that's the way it's going to look Saturday. Wilson and who's it going to be?
It's Mike Yurcich.
Mike Yurcich is going to be the other guy calling plays. I don't know how that's going to work into the fall. Do either of you have a take as to, or just speculate as to how it's going to maybe look different? Not that we ever knew exactly how it did look under Urban. What do you think?
Well, it seems like they wanted this to be kind of similar to Oklahoma, where Lincoln Riley is primarily the offensive play caller, and you're seeing that now more with coaches who are going to be the head coach but also call plays. You're going with the younger play caller who's going to handle both, and it seems with this spring at least, you kind of want to take inventory of your staff. You have Mike Yurcich, who's a newbie and under this staff, and Ryan Day is getting to know him and maybe wants to see how he is as a play caller. Same with Kevin Wilson, where if he decides at some point maybe he wants to pull back and kind of deviate from maybe the original plan, he would at least kind of know what he has on his staff.
Good stuff. We were talking about Kevin Wilson, and he's an interesting guy because, you know, he was this acclaimed play caller at Oklahoma. I think he got his start maybe at Northwestern.
Miami, Ohio.
Yep. Yeah. And then he went to Indiana, and there was controversy there. But even if you can look past the controversy to the X's and O's and to what he did there, very effective. I think very respected. He comes here. He kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, and you could argue even more this coming season with Ryan Day calling the plays. What does that leave for Kevin Wilson? I know he wants to be a head coach again. I talked to him at the bowl game, and he said, you know, that's still where he wants to be. So is he treading water, biding time? How do you see that playing out, and what can you say about Kevin Wilson?
Yeah, like you said, Rob, it's an interesting thing because when he arrived, it was all, okay, he's going to give this offense a shot in the arm because of his history. And I don't want to say Meyer's offense, the spread was stale, but it certainly needed to be updated and it needed an injection of something.
Right.
And we don't really know, because it is a collaborative thing. We don't know, okay, whose fingerprints are those? And Ryan Day came in, and at the time, as the second guy, you thought, but it was pretty clear fairly early that Ryan Day was considered a rising star, and he kind of usurped Kevin Day's role, at least in terms of the outside perception of it.
Yes.
And again, we don't know what happens really in the building. So how that works this year will be interesting. No, they did it last year for three games without Urban Meyer when he was suspended, and it worked pretty well. Again, two of those games were against overmatched opponents, but TCU, they put up, I think, 42 or something. He's a very good X's and O's guy. Very good. He's now coaching the tight ends. He feels very good about that unit. They've got all four guys back. It's the only unit on the team where everyone's back. And so I think the Kevin Wilson's role in this will be a very interesting thing to watch as it unfolds.
I would agree. I'll say one thing about going into this season for the first time in a while. If you don't like the offense and you don't like the play calling, you know who to blame. I mean, it's going to be Ryan Day. He's kind of owned that. So, and you know, it's never good enough, right? At a program this size, if you're not scoring 60, you know, hanging half a hundred on people, and it looks good while you're doing it, because just to repeat here, they weren't bad the year before Kevin Wilson came right in. They were never really bad. It's just, you know, were they a little stale? I mean, you know, we're scoring 42 a game. Do we want to score 45?
Right.
So, all right, speaking of what was bad last year a little bit at times was the defense, mainly, you know, linebackers and secondary. I want to talk about secondary, but I think a note that did come out of the presser this morning was that the linebackers are making interceptions, which last year they made one the entire regular season. And so they've already had, I don't know if he said today, 10 or something like that.
Well, he just said that they had one today, but he said that they've been much more active.
Active hands.
We've talked about this before, that they were out of position by design last year. They were playing close to the line. And so now with the zone defense, I mean, I think they're still primarily a man-to-man press team, but they will at least add that to their playbook, the zone defense, which makes quarterbacks think twice about what they're going to face. It also allows defenders to watch the ball. If you're playing man-to-man coverage, the quarterbacks, they're not watching the ball, they're covering the receiver. So in a zone coverage, you could break on the ball. And Ohio State's athletes, on paper, and I think in reality, are good enough that if there's a tip ball, if there's a pass that's off target, they're in position to make a play instead of having their backs to the ball. So I think that's, you know, a big deal. I think, you know, the linebackers are going to be under a lot of scrutiny. All three starters return. But I think other than Malik Harrison, I think I'll be shocked if he's not a starter. Because he really came on at the end of last year and was considered a guy who might go to the NFL. I think Tuff Borland is going to have to work to keep his job. I think Pete Warner is going to have to work, defend off competition there. And that's fine. You know, they're both really good guys and they've made plays. Pete Warner made a huge play against Michigan. He stripped the ball from the tight end in the end zone. That was a huge play. But we all know there were plenty of times last year where the linebackers were invisible.
You know who's in really good position right now? Al Washington, the linebackers right. coach, because there's nowhere to go but up.
Right.
He's the new guy, so he gets a little grace period there. And they were so bad, seemingly, again, you know, broad brush, that if they have any improvement, well, there's Al Washington. There's Al Washington's fingerprints. So that's good stuff. Saturday, spring game. What's the start time?
Noon.
Noon start
Don't
time.
Don't be late.
Don't be late. 76,000. You can be late.
You can be late.
You can be fashionably late.
If you want to see like Chase Young and those players.
Yeah, you better. Yeah, don't show up late. You get stuck in traffic. All right, this was Buckeye Extra Football Edition. Come on back the next time, and we'll have more for you. This is Bill Rabinowitz, Joey Coffin, Rob Aller. Yeah, they're in the room. Let's put it that way. And the Podfather, Patrick Flaherty. See ya.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.